Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1 to 6. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is the Gospel Feast, the Gospel Feast. In Matthew 22, we have our Lord Jesus Christ speaking the parable of the marriage supper of the king's son. In verse 3, it says, Again he sent forth other servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Then we read of the parable as it unfolds in that passage. There are, of course, a number of places in the Word of God where the Gospel is represented as a feast to which sinners are invited, a feast of fat things and of wine on the lees well refined. And the very language of Psalm 34 applied concerning our Lord Jesus in 1 Peter 2, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And 1 Peter 1, the apostle speaks to them and says, that they should desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby, if so be they have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So Psalm 34 applies to our Lord Jesus Christ. For how else could sinners taste and see that the Lord is good, except through our Lord Jesus Christ? Even in the time of David, in the Old Testament, it was still through Christ that sinners are to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, this passage is also speaking of the Gospel as a feast of fat things. It is wisdom here that is represented as making the preparations. We have seen that in some parts of Proverbs, wisdom is so personified as that it can only refer particularly to our Lord Jesus Christ. But even when that is less obvious, yet still we cannot stray from the truth that this wisdom is always found in Christ. It's always in Christ. It's in Christ that God has gracious dealings with sinners. It is through the Gospel of Christ that sinners are made wise unto salvation. It is through Christ that sinners learn the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So even when the personification is less explicit, yet even so, it must refer to the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because only through the Gospel are fools, which is what sinners are, made wise. Sin is folly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is only through the gospel that sinners, sinful fools, are made truly wise and accepted with God. We should not hesitate then to apply these verses to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all fools until made wise through the gospel. Firstly, a full preparation, verse 1 and 2. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. In the previous chapter, in verse 34, we read, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." That is, waiting at the door of wisdom. But here is wisdom building the very house itself. In other words, not only are the wise waiting at the doors of wisdom to become wiser, but wisdom, the wisdom of God, is here represented as building the house itself with its seven pillars. The seven could just mean many, or more likely, the complete and perfect number that this house represents, the perfect expression of the wisdom of God. But not only has the house been built, but the feast has been prepared. Verse 2, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. The beasts have been killed to provide food, the wine has been mixed to enhance its flavour, the table is fully laid and ready. This tells us that God, in his wisdom, has prepared a gospel feast for sinners that is perfect in every respect, perfectly suited to the needs of sinners, to those who are alienated from God. There is set before them in the gospel a feast, a spiritual feast, that cannot be improved or surpassed, because God has ordained this gospel. It is the gospel of God. It is the glorious gospel of the blessed God. The God who is blessed in himself makes known this gospel and displays his glory in it. We may say, how is it that God has prepared such a gospel feast for sinners? From eternity, God has planned to show his glory in the salvation of sinners, that through the church he might display to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3:10. From eternity, God never had any other plan to save sinners except through Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is not some fallback plan when other ideas didn't work. God has only ever ordained the salvation of sinners through Jesus Christ. No sinner from the fall of man to the end of the world will ever be saved except through Jesus Christ. There has only ever been one way of salvation. That is, through Christ, the Word. God speaks to men through Christ. That's why he's called the Word. And even in the Old Testament, before redemption had been accomplished by Christ, even then, sinners could only be saved through trusting in the Saviour who had been promised, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Moses endured the reproach of Christ. Sinners could never, ever be saved any other way than through Jesus Christ. And to suggest otherwise is an insult to the Saviour. If righteousness could come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians 2:21. There never was any other plan, and there was never any other gospel or message from God to sinners. That same message was revealed at sundry times in divers manners to the fathers by the prophets, and he has spoken in these last days by his Son. That is, by his Son coming in the fullness of time. But he was speaking concerning his Son in those sundry times and divers manners to the fathers by the prophets. All the scriptures, says Christ, testify of me. The way of salvation by Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation compatible with the nature of God. And so there was never any other way. And he sent his Son to be the Redeemer. Back in chapter 8, verse 31, Christ himself says his delights were with the sons of men. The Word manifest in the flesh, it was always God's purpose that God the Son should become a man to redeem sinful men. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So our Lord Jesus was always God and never ceased to be God, but became a man so as to be God and man in one person and two distinct natures. He was God manifest in the flesh. He fulfilled all righteousness. So the Father says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." Isaiah 42, verse 1. And these words are taken up when the Father speaks from the excellent glory and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling all righteousness, yet bore the sins of many and bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners completely, so that he said before he gave up the ghost, "It is finished. Into thy hand I commend my spirit." And the resurrection is the testimony of God the Father to the completeness of the sin-bearing of his Son. And he is now exalted higher than the heavens to intercede for all who come to God by him. And he is an altogether suitable Saviour for sinful men. Wisdom hath builded her house. The feast is prepared in wisdom's house. The gospel is exactly what sinners need. It is an entirely suited gospel, and Christ is an altogether suitable Saviour for sinful men. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, and now made higher than the heavens. Such an high priest became us, that is, exactly suited to the need of sinful men, and is exactly in keeping with the character of God. For it became him, of whom are all things and for whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That is, perfect in the sense, not morally, because he was never a sinner, but fully qualified. It became God. It was in keeping with the character of God, and it was in keeping with our position as sinners in the sight of God. Such a high priest became us as sinners, and it became God the Father to make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings. That is, that he should bear the wrath of God, not in the place of angels, but as men, but in the place of men, bearing the judgment of God in his human nature, suffering the wrath of an angry God in the place of sinful men. So he is an altogether suitable Saviour, suitable, consistent with the character of God and the guilt of sinners. He is exactly the Saviour we need. God, man, sinless, atoning, bearing the guilt of sin completely. So wisdom hath builded her house, hewn out her seven pillars, killed her beasts, mingled her wine, furnished her table. There is a gospel that is exactly what we need as sinners. Secondly, publicly declared. Publicly declared. Verse 3. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Like a queen sending her maidens to publicize the event and making it freely known. So this gospel is to be publicized indiscriminately and without hindrance. And to that end, Christ has called ministers to publicly declare the gospel of Christ, to make it known in all its fullness, and to do so freely, indiscriminately. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Timothy, as Paul is about to leave this world, is charged to preach the word, to herald the word, like the ambassador of a king with a message from the King of Heaven, to declare to sinners without restriction the truth as it is in Jesus, that salvation is in him and none other. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. We have the apostle speaking of his own ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The apostle is saying that in his ministry there was no deceit, there was no dishonest handling of the word of God. There was open declaration of the truth of the gospel, and if it was hid, it was not he, the apostle, who was hiding it. It was because men's minds were blinded. But he didn't hide it. He declared it openly. No gimmickry which muffles and distracts from the gospel of Christ. He simply made the truth clear. And the Lord has called all ministers to that end, to publicly declare the truth as it is in Jesus. And the whole of God's people, in their respective capacities, are to live so as to adorn this gospel and to be ready to give account to him that asketh of the hope that is within them. They are to do all in their power, in their private lives, to, as it were, reinforce the public message of the ministers of the word, striving together for the faith of the gospel, bearing faithful witness to the truth. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we read, therefore they were scattered abroad, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now the word preaching there, it's not the same as in Timothy, preach the word, herald the word. Literally, the whole phrase preaching the word is evangelizing. So it's not talking about the public heralding of the gospel, which is the work of ministers, but it is saying that the disciples went everywhere evangelizing. They told people the truth. Like the woman of Samaria, who said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And isn't that just love to our neighbor in practice? If we love our neighbor, how can we not tell them the truth? So, publicly declared. But then thirdly, the gospel for fools. The gospel for fools. Verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. This stands in contrast to the simple man of verse 16, who remains simple, who remains a fool, who goes in to the strange woman, who gives himself to sin. He's a simple man who stays simple. This is talking about the fool who becomes wise. And it's saying that the gospel is addressed to fools like us. Fools who've been wallowing in sin. Fools who to this, who have walked on in darkness. It's saying, fools, simple souls, turn in and become wise. Take heed of the gospel promises in Christ Jesus and be wise. In other words, this is telling us how fools change. We're all fools by nature, as we've said. But they are called upon to turn in and feast here. Now, whatever kind of fool you are, as a sinner, we have been fools. We've listened to the great lie that blessedness is in sin. But be those sins ever so great and many, and long continued in, and aggravated, and against much light, you may become truly wise in our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest of sinners, the biggest of fools, is declared righteous and made wise in the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The wayfaring men, those who are fools in the eyes even of men, repentant, believing sinners, through Christ, find this highway that leads to the promised land of eternal glory. The biggest fool who comes to Christ becomes wise. All real wisdom is in him. Men of the world don't think so. They vie with one another and congratulate themselves that they are wise, but they're fools. Without Christ, they're fools. But with Christ, the biggest fool learns wisdom in the fear of the Lord. Fourthly, a free invitation. A free invitation. Verse 5 and 6. Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. Not just waiting at the gates, but come in to this house of wisdom with the feast prepared. The invitation comes out from the house of wisdom to come and eat. Isaiah 55 speaks in a similar vein. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Salvation is in Christ. Forgiveness of sins is in Christ. Deliverance from the wrath of God is in Christ. Peace with God is in Christ. Blessedness now and forever is in Christ. Come and eat. Christ's voice is to the sons of men. Forsake the foolish and live. To have Christ, you must ignore the foolish. The world is full of fools who will tell you to be as foolish as they are and ignore the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fools want you to be a fool also. So you must forsake the foolish. You must ignore those who would tell you, not to think about Christ, not to get involved with Christ and this gospel. They will tell you that it's a foolish thing to do. They will tell you that that which is the height of wisdom is the height of folly. And they're the ones who are foolish. To come to Christ is to be truly wise. And it comes when a sinner is taught of God. He becomes wise enough to seek Christ, the fountain of all wisdom. Ignore the foolish. When thou doest well to thyself, men shall praise thee. When you get on in an ungodly way, men will say you're doing the right thing. When you ignore the gospel, they'll say you're doing the right thing, you look after yourself. Of what possible comfort or use will their approving verdict be when we come to die? And they can't help us. And we face God in judgment. Wisdom is not defined by consensus, but by God. Be wise, therefore, as God sees, and trust in Jesus Christ. Come in, as it were, to the house that wisdom has builded, and eat of the feast which wisdom has laid, and eat abundantly and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Abandon all your foolish schemes that you can be right with God in some other way, because you can't. Every other idea of acceptance with God is worthless foolishness. It is deceit and it leads to ruin. It is but a variation of the way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Matthew 22, verse 8, the parable of the king's marriage of the king's son with which we began. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The gospel is sent to all kinds of sinners. Whatever kind of sinner and fool you have been, the gospel is addressed to you. And the gospel feast is that to which you are invited in our Lord Jesus Christ. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. This is the gospel, and it's sent to sinners, such as we are. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we bless thee for the truth of thy word. We thank thee that there is a message of deliverance addressed to sinners, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Grant that we might all be found with the heavenly wisdom to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. So bless thy word to our hearts. Bless our continuing time together. Receive our thanks for food and drink. Grant that we might encourage one another in the truth, that we might not be like those who are foolish and who discourage from following after Christ, but that we might urge one another, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And all that we ask is for his sake. Amen.